Happy Friday, everyone. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. Once again, the first call of the year 2020, which is wild to think about. I used to think about, I guess, the year 2000, even Y2K and all that. Now we're at year 2020, so it's January 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon Molay, FDN mentor, practitioner, clinical advisor, and then my colleague, buddy, friend, Brendan Vermeyer is on with us as well. So we're going to be talking today, answering some questions, giving you some updates, just whatever we can do to help support you guys. If you are a trainee, if you're a graduate, if you're thinking about taking the course, we'll talk to anybody. So happy to chime in and help you guys out. However, if it's a course question, if it's a practice question, if it's a case management question, whatever it happens to be, or just, you know, setting goals for the new year, or whatever you want to talk about. You know, Brendan and I both are have some pretty thriving practices going. We're doing a lot of work on our own with our businesses, but also, of course, we love helping with the course and filling the roles we do with the mission here of FDN. So we've got some experience under our belts now. So we like to chime in on with our experience now at this point. It's not just, hey, I took the course and what we can regurgitate from what we learn in the videos. We've got some experience to talk from now. So always happy to chime in that way as well. So, all right. Well, hey, yeah, January 3rd, 2020. Hopefully the year's off to a great start for you guys. Usually it's a pretty busy time for anybody in the health industry, right? So people coming off the Christmas and the holidays and all that, all the time where we don't always stick to our dress protocols quite as well, maybe as we want to, or, you know, first of the year, but has those New Year's resolutions. And, you know, we know that not everybody is going to follow through with those. That's just kind of the nature of it. That's just human nature, but it's always about timing for people. But a lot of people will, and they want to make some changes and do some things to improve their health. So usually it's a busy time for FDN practitioners. Hopefully it will be that way for you with your business. Just got to get out there. Let people know that you exist, and hopefully you've already started to do that actually, you know, over the years and over time. The more that somebody gets to know you, the better off you're going to be with your business. So, yeah, so busy time coming up and lots of things going on with the course, a lot of big plans. I'll check in with Brendan here in a second. He's got a few announcements to talk about a little bit. So good to be back with you guys. This is a live call, so if you want to call in and chat with us, we'd love to hear from you. Last few months, I don't think I've had to pull a question one off of my list of questions because we have so many awesome callers, you guys calling in and saying hello and asking really awesome questions. So we love the live interaction, if possible. That number to call in is 347-637-1378. Again, that's 347-637-1378. And hit one on the keypad. We'll know that you want to come on and call out your area code and ask who you are. And you guys can ask at least one question, maybe two, depending on how many people we have waiting. And we'll answer questions that way. If you guys want to be quiet today, that's okay. We'll just talk about things. Brendan and I can fill time. We've found that out. We can fill an hour up pretty easily. So, with quality material, by the way, not just extra stuff, but we can fill the time and do what we can. But speaking of Brendan, man, how are you?
I'm doing really well, man. Happy to be here with you. And yeah, I don't deny we're pretty good at filling time.
Well, we got some things to say, and it's fun. We like to talk. So, but happy New Year to you, and hopefully the year's off to a good start. We're talking before, and we both had some time off and took a little time to disconnect. But I think we're both ready to get back at it. Had good momentum at the, you know, last quarter of the year, and awesome things to do. So, I was actually excited to get sort of back to it and see what else is going to happen for this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Maybe check in with you. Oh, you sure can.
Hey, I'm sneaking in on your call here today, guys.
There you are. I see you down at the bottom of the list, Reed. Hey.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Reed, to you too. Thanks for sneaking on.
Yeah. Brendan and
sure can.
Brendan, the dynamic duo of FDN. Well, listen, I got to tell you guys something, again, just to butt in. This week, I mean, it's a holiday week, And I have done 10 PGI calls on a holiday week. That's 10 new graduates of FDN. And I have to say that, you know, I get on those calls, and everyone who's listening that's a graduate knows that I try to be a pest. But otherwise, you know, I want feedback. And the best feedback I get is on you guys and the rest of the staff, the crew, the whole, you know, structure, the organization. They realize FDN is not one person, you know, it's really a tribe. Matter of fact, the call, I just had a call. You know, my time is 10:30 to 11. It's 11 o'clock. I just got off a call, and she said, "It's so nice to know there's a tribe, that I'm not out here by myself." Now, by the way, she's way out there by herself in New South Wales, Australia, where it's hard to run labs, it's hard to get products. And yet, she just instinctively knows she's onto something. She had her own health problems. You know, she'd always wanted to be a naturopath, but work got in the way. And but then when she finally found out she had Hashimoto's and some other stuff, she ran into some physical bodily damage. She ran into a Czech practitioner. And of course, Paul Czech always talks about FDN and how great it is. And so that's what led her to us. And now she's finished with the course. She's ready to move on. She's like all the rest of the people and us and everyone on the call and listening. You know, it's a new era in health care and health coaching. So I'm not going to take up much more of you guys' time. I just thought, you know, I'm really excited, like you are, talking about the new year and ready to roll and help. And the last thing I always leave everyone with on a PGI post-grad interview call, like all 10 this week, was, look, this is not your one and only chance to say something to us. It's an open door policy. I don't know one FDN that wouldn't help another FDN out if they wrote them with a question or concern or what do you think about this or that. It's just an amazing thing. And again, it's just that we have our values and people are attracted to it. So good on you. Good on you, as we say.
Yep.
And go on with the show.
Cool. Thanks, Reed. Good point there. That's a good segue into Brendan there with some announcements for AFGNP. I think we've always had a good group of people that wanted to help each other out, but I think really AFGNP and technology sort of made that even easier and more of a concentrated effort to have that, because I felt like I was supported when I graduated 9-10 years ago now, but now even more so, and exactly right. So because, you know, the course, you finish the course, right, and you're going to know a whole lot. You're going to feel really confident going out there, but there might be a few areas where you still don't feel like you're right where you want to be, and that's where AFTMP Association, the tribe, gets to fill in that gap for us. And you'll come up to speed really quickly, faster than ever. So, to Brendan, how about some announcements on the association right now? I know the OAT workshop's coming up. Anything else we want to talk about here?
Yeah, thank you. It's literally never been a more exciting time to be an FDN or a member of the AFDNP, and it's really remarkable how much the membership has grown in the past year, how much the association has improved, and we're working on a lot of really exciting things behind the scenes. Like, I know we're working on a AFDNP website, you know, as its own freestanding website, and we're working on a lot of other really cool initiatives with that. So, you know, I won't tease you guys too much quite yet, but a lot of good things in the works, so certainly stay tuned. But certainly the AFDNP is getting stronger and stronger every day with our different offerings, because we're truly trying to do everything we can to, you know, we've always had great mentoring and always had great education. That's how, you know, that is the foundation of FDN, but we're constantly trying to take it to the next level to help not only get you through your FDN training and get you graduated, but then take it a step further of getting you to be that successful FDN practitioner health coach, because obviously, you know, you could be the best and most knowledgeable professional, but if you can't actually make a living doing this methodology, well, then you're limited in how many people you can help, and you're limited in your ability to live your truth, live your passion, live your purpose. And that's the whole point of the AFDNP, is to give you guys everything you could possibly need on the business side, on the professional side, all the knowledge, all the resources possible to build the thriving business of your dreams. So certainly there's going to be a lot of good things coming down the pipeline right now. We do have the FDNO course that launches next Wednesday. I appreciate everybody's patience with that. You know, the funny thing is making the course was the easy part. It was making time to make the course. That was the harder part. So thanks for being patient, but I couldn't be more excited to launch that. There were over 50 people at the workshop at the conference, and they all loved it. A lot of great feedback. So remember that the recordings are available for purchase. And certainly, you know, buying the recordings doesn't mean you're buying the course. It's just the recordings for the workshop. But then the course goes live this coming Wednesday. I'll be doing a webinar to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek. So I'd love to see you guys there. That's about all I got for the moment that I can think of.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool. I like to, this Friday call was, you know, a support call is what we've called it for a long time. But the things we're talking about now, they're not advertisements. They're, hey, letting you know that tools are available. I've got several people on verbal finals that when I mentioned AFTMP, they're not really clear on what AFTMP is and what it offers and why they would want to be a part of that. So I always like to give some time to what's going on with that because, again, the goal is to make you a better practitioner, and if you want to be doing this professionally and making a living at it, then we want to provide those tools, and that's really what it's about. So make a living doing what you love. That's what my life sort of has become, which I'm eternally grateful for that. So good stuff. I'm looking forward to the OAT. I feel like I've got a pretty good grasp on the OAT, the basics, but I listen to you talk about different things and pick up on things. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I want to know what's going on there. So that next level is going to be terrific. So, all right. Well, hey, I've got a few announcements as far as graduates go. I want to make sure I cover that here before we jump into questions. I see several of you guys that are on the line with hands raised, so we'll get to your questions in just a second. But I don't think we got to announce the last two graduates of the year in 2019, I think. I want to make sure if we did, I'm going to repeat it. That's fine. And then the first graduate for this year coming up. So Reed, you got some more PGIs coming your way for sure, which is awesome. So graduates from last year, last two there of 2019 were Kimber Crochelle, and she's from Iowa, and then Karen Ng, and she's from Canada, Ontario, Canada. So girls, congratulations there. And then a fellow to start off the year with, the first graduate of 2020, it's Michael Bowen, and he's from Dallas, Texas. So guys, proud of you, and look forward to working with you in the future in lots of different ways. And verbal final slots are filling up, so keep working your way through the course. If you're moving the course right now, you just do the next thing, right, the next step. Get into your practicals. Watch the next video. Just keep moving forward. The path gets clearer and clearer as you go on through it. It's always fun and a learning experience, and you can do it. I'm convinced. So keep moving forward. We'll have a fun time on the verbal final, and then get to talk to Reed at the end, live and in person, and then it's AFTMP and doing this wonderful work. All right. Well, unless you guys, Reed or Brendan, you got anything else that you want to add on here with things, we'll jump on. We'll hit some questions here. So I do have a hand raised, so I'm going to grab this hand here first. It's 631 area code. So 631, what's your name?
Hi, it's Andrea. How are you?
Well, hello,
can
Andrea. Doing good. Happy New Year.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
We got you.
Yeah, Happy New Year. I'm still moseying through the course, coming up on doing my last couple of practicals and looking forward to getting it complete. But my question is this, because I've suffered, I've been sick during the course, and I'm kind of embarrassed about how long it's taken me to do it. My first question is, what were the things that you did to build your business, to get known out there? And the second question is regarding mitochondria dysfunction, how it's measured and how we treat it.
Well, I'm going to hand the mitochondria question over to my man over here, Brendan, for sure. That's my area of expertise. I've got some understanding, but I want to give it to him because I know it's his area for sure. Getting out there and marketing, we can talk about that too. Maybe start with the mitochondria question first, Brendan, if you're able.
Yeah, we can crank that one out pretty fast, really, because I think mitochondrial dysfunction is, I think it's a really misleading term, to be honest. You know, it's kind of like the word dysbiosis. Now, don't get me wrong, dysbiosis, I think, is a little bit more like validated, and, you know, there's scientific literature that uses dysbiosis as a term and, you know, has a lot of great evidence to support the theory of dysbiosis. But ultimately, it's like, well, what is dysbiosis? An imbalance of good and bad bacteria, which then means we are therefore labeling a microbe as good or bad, which is overly simplistic and redundant to some degree. But anyways, my point being, as far as mitochondrial dysfunction, you know, yes, there is true mitochondrial disease, which is more genetic in origin, but then there's kind of this, you know, vague term of quote-unquote mitochondrial dysfunction that is becoming thrown around more and more, and then all the while, nobody actually really understands, well, what is it, what does that mean, and what do we do about it? And of course, you know, I always have to gently, like, well, we don't treat anything, you know, we don't treat anything specifically, we treat everything non-specifically. So, you know, just being proper with our terminology, because we do not treat mitochondrial dysfunction, but also, you know, then obviously, as far as what are we really getting out of, well, what interventions and strategies, first off, how do we qualify mitochondrial dysfunction, whatever that means, how do we qualify it, how do we define it? And then what intervention can we apply for the sake of a self-healing dress protocol? So, you know, certainly as far as assessing and qualifying mitochondrial dysfunction, yes, you know, the Great Plains Organic Acid Test does have a Krebs cycle metabolite section that, you know, obviously there's modules on in the upcoming course. So we do get some objective data that are direct metabolite organic acids of mitochondrial Krebs cycle, you know, succinic acid or, you know, aconitic acid. However, if we kind of think critically, it's like, okay, well, mitochondria, you know, basically every cell in the body other than red blood cells, which don't have mitochondria, but every other cell in the body has hundreds, if not thousands, of mitochondria, and they are constantly cranking out ATP every single second of every single day. So what does that mean for, you know, trillions upon trillions of these mitochondria? What does that mean when we say they're all dysfunctional? I mean, you know, so it's almost one of those, I think, just from a rationale standpoint, it's we're zooming in to quite literally not just the cellular, but the organelle level. And we're almost like diagnosing, you know, we're attempting to diagnose something that is constantly dynamic and is pertaining to trillions and trillions of organelles that are throughout our body. So anyways, my long-winded point being, I like to think out loud through this stuff because we've got to use our critical thinking skills. I think practitioners, both, you know, FDN and just in the functional medicine industry in general, I don't think we use enough critical thinking. And I think we rely way too much on labs and imperfect, limited testing technology to qualify what really I think we need to use more critical thinking and common sense to approach. You know, and frankly, I think mitochondrial dysfunction is kind of an unhelpful term, you know, of like, oh, you're fatigued, you have mitochondrial dysfunction. Well, I mean, shoot, fatigue could be caused by a myriad of factors. So as you'll see in the organic acid course, yes, we do get some objective insight into mitochondrial function, but it's not really a diagnostic type of thing. It's more if we see aberrations in these metabolites, it really just tells us like, okay, yes, you know, we could call that mitochondrial dysfunction, but what do we do about it? Well, what's disturbing the mitochondria? Well, hidden stressors. So it all brings us back to the more simple and more effective, you know, theory of identifying the hidden stressors that are disturbing our physiology. You know, we can call it adrenal fatigue, we can call it mitochondrial dysfunction, we can make all these labels that are misleading and not very clear as to what they mean, but in reality it just brings us back to, well, it's metabolic chaos caused by hidden stressors. And so the mitochondrial metabolites on the organic acid test, they're really more indicators of toxicity. You know, if there's a high level of succinic acid, number 24, for example, and again, I teach this in depth in the course, but like high levels of succinic acid, well, sure, we could call that mitochondrial dysfunction, but what's really going on? Well, they're toxic, and there are toxins and other hidden stressors impairing their mitochondria along with every other aspect of their body. So I'll stop blabbering there, but I hope that kind of makes sense as to what I'm getting at there, because the rookie mistake.
Can I ask you an adjunct question?
Let me finish one thought, and then I'll So I'll finish that with saying, you know, the rookie mistake would be running an organic acid test and seeing imbalances in the Krebs cycle section, and then giving them like a mitochondrial cocktail supplement. Like, that's treating the lab results. It's not thinking through the technology or the physiology, and it's allopathically like, oh, well, here's just a shotgun cocktail of a bunch of different mitochondrial nutrients, and hopefully that treats your mitochondrial dysfunction, which is really kind of counterproductive. So,
okay.
Great answer. Andrew, you had a follow-up to that?
I did, just to get a little bit more specific, because I do think that some people do have, and you did mention some of the markers in the oat test. So I guess there's a few cocktails with the oxygen, molecular oxygen that we can supplement with and things like that. But I do believe that there are people that do have, and myself included, with the mold thing. My God, when I'm triggered, it's like the fatigue is off the charts, right? And particularly in the legs and whatnot. And I was talking to my trainer, and he was talking about, you know, the different kind of muscles in your legs, your quads, and your other parts of your body, because my legs fatigue much faster. So I'm not sure what the relationship is with that, but it's a slower twitch muscle, he was saying, or not a fast twitch muscle. My arms are actually stronger than my legs, and my legs were four times stronger than my arms before I got ill. So I guess just to give a little bit more credence to how we can go about if we do find somebody that has those markers and are also having those complaints, right? Because we don't treat anything specifically, although we can call things certain things. I mean, if it's a cat, it's a cat. If it's a dog, it's a dog. But if there's indicators, it is an opportunity, you know, to coach up wellness, as we say. So what would you recommend for somebody, Brandon, who has these signs and symptoms, quote unquote? We don't do signs and symptoms. I know I'm talking from my nursing background, or is reporting these things. What would your protocol be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate your understanding of my potentially unhelpful answer. Because, you know, I really try to teach, it's, you know, the difference of giving a fish versus teaching how to fish, right? Thinking through things versus a short answer and so with that said, you know, certainly it's like, okay, with mold as a great example, okay, well, mold can cause hypoperfusion, right? You know, we know that it causes impaired blood flow and therefore a impaired oxygenation to the tissues. And, you know, so like the molecular oxygen supplement is a great example where, you know, supplement companies, they make money by selling supplements. So you bet your bottom dollar that they're going to look for every possible thing that they could put in a bottle and sell you. And
exactly.
So it's kind of funny. Like, what is supplemental molecular oxygen? Is it a bottle full of air that you open up and breathe? You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of silly. Like, how do we improve oxidative phosphorylation? Well, improve oxygenation to the tissues. How do we improve oxygenation to the tissues? Well, I don't know. I mean, breathing or improving capillary density through exercise and intentional movement, you know, an oxygen bar, you know, there's, you know what I mean? But obviously,
yes,
then it's like, well, what's the hidden stressor that's causing a lack of oxygenation to the tissues? Well, the mycotoxins that are causing the hypoperfusion to begin with. So then it brings you back to, you know, dealing with the mold situation, right? So certainly, yeah, I mean, there's different, like, CoQ10 is a great antioxidant, and it's a mobile transporter between complex 1 and 2 and 3 of the electron transport chain. So, you know, it can help move electrons down the gradient to then be accepted by molecular oxygen. But ultimately, yeah, it just brings us back to environment and nutrition and, you know, removing the hidden stressors. So it's not something we can really treat allopathically.
Well, that was disappointing. I'm looking for a quick fix, Brandon.
Yeah, aren't we all? I wish.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think
I'd
appreciate
like to jump
it.
In.
Yeah, go for
ahead,
it.
Can I jump in? Hey, thanks.
Please.
And thanks for the great question, Andrea. Mitochondria as Brendan eloquently put, are the little engines in cells, and every cell in your body has some. Some have more than others, except red blood cells. And I've said and they can be involved. Those little injury factories, or motors, we used to call them, engines, can be involved in any disease. Now, can they cause a disease? Can they be the number one, say, root cause of a certain disease? That's probably so, based on genetic mutations. But otherwise, they're just involved because they're part of the body. They're just, you know, I've said for years that the DRESS program has an effect, has an epigenetic effect, hopefully a beneficial effect on every cell, tissue, organ, and system. But as, again, Brendan pointed out, cells aren't the smallest thing. We can work at the atomic, subatomic level, and you are. I just think that's way too much information for most people. We work on a cellular and tissue and organ and system level, because that's what good health coaches do. That's all we're prepared to do, and that's the world that's the missing piece of the puzzle for people. So someone could say they might have a true mitochondrial disease based on some genetic mutations or something. They can't process lactic acid or something. I don't know, but you know, what's our? We would never treat that. So the whole way you asked the question was, if you'll forgive me, it was wrong. We don't treat anything, you know. But, and Brendan pointed it out. But we have an effect upon a person with mitochondrial dysfunction, and of the trillions of mitochondria in their body, there could be a lot of them dysfunctional. If they have tiredness, fatigue, allergies, moodiness, irritability, digestive problems, pain, you name it, anything from blood sugar issues and all this sort of stuff. So the only way an FDN works legitimately, unless they also have some medical credentials behind their name, is through the DRESS program, or in, you know, whatever you want to call your epigenetic program, your holistic lifestyle medicine program. And by the way, this is the future. This is the way medicine will be practiced. It's going to be health coaches who are at the vanguard of that effort. You know, so Brendan, I can understand how his answers. It's disappointing to someone who wants to. What's the Band-Aid for mitochondrial dysfunction? Well, the question isn't work, because which mitochondria, which of the trillions and trillions, which cells or groups of cells, which organs, are, you know, so unless you can name the mitochondrial dysfunction you're talking about, of which, you know, diabetes might be involved in that, or all these other different, name a disease, is mitochondria involved? Yes. So we just got to premise our questions, ask our questions, right, and then apply our principles.
I apologize for asking the question in the wrong, so to speak, format. I understand what you're saying. I get it. Yeah.
It'd be like, how do we treat chronic fatigue? Well, we don't. But
yes.
By the way, are mitochondria involved in chronic fatigue? Oh, hell yeah. Because our epigenetic program has an effect on every cell, tissue, and organ. And if you want to take the word cell and break it down to its millions of parts, go ahead. But, you know, cells good enough for us, sure. And we, you know, again, it's like for academic reasons. And again, some of these labs, by the way, Lori Rose put a course together just for FDNs. So if I was listening right now, I'd be seriously interested in getting Brendan's new course on the OATS test, and because you can learn there how to do the testing, and some of that's covered in the mitochondrial course too. It really gives you a good idea of what you're dealing with, and all of these stuff just proves how a good epigenetic program, like the DRESS program, is all a health coach needs to know. Or, you know, like, just the more we keep it simple, the better it is. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to mute you for a second there, Andrew. Just, I want to chime in just a little bit. So, good answers. I like everything you guys are saying, laying down those FDN principles, and then just what is it? Mitochondrial dysfunction actually means. So I think it is fair, and like you said, Reed, there, a little bit of intelligent allopathy is something that can make somebody feel better. I know with Andrea's situation, hers is pretty complex, and she's talked about that on the call many times. A lot of things going on, super, super sensitive. So I think I get the question, but also the heart where you're coming from, Andrea, because when you feel terrible, is there something I can take, and this is perfectly all right, something I can take to feel a little bit better right now until I can get to those final root causes. So there's a balance there we strike. You know, one of the first things we might work into an FDN protocol is going to be potentially some natural relief care, intelligent allopathy, and then as we work on some of the deeper things. And we're always trying to balance that out because it's very easy, especially when you get good at this after a while, to find a lot of cool things making a person feel a lot better, but never really build any health with that. We've just masked those things, like on the brain-body diagram, those choices we have. We can deal with symptoms with prescriptions or with surgery, but we also do it with natural medications or natural supplementation. So that's a thing to always watch out for and find that balance with people. So, Andrew, hopefully that's been helpful to you there. Maybe we'll, unless you guys have anything else to add, maybe we'll jump onto the marketing question. Asking about how to get yourself out there, how to build a business. I think there's two basic ways you can do that. It's either going to be a face-to-face or a face-to-face via the internet or something digital, for sure. So, Reed, if you're still on, I know definitely yours in the beginning for sure was built by pounding the pavement face-to-face. So maybe talk a little bit about your experience there with that, how you built the health center.
Yeah, okay. So that should be no surprise to anyone. I did 10 PGI calls, and I covered for some of them, how do you get out there? And basically, you don't exist until people know you exist. You know, as an FDN, you're in a state of non-existence. They don't know who you are. They don't know what FDN is. Anything. So the way you get into existence is to shake hands, and it's just the most tried, true, reliable, highest quality contact you could possibly make. You know, phone calls are a pretty high quality contact because you're hearing a voice and you're talking to someone. Emails, not so much. You know, postcards, probably less. So the highest quality contact you could possibly make with people is looking in the eye, shake their hand. And if you go out and do groups, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but even at the FDN conference, while people were filing in for the very first 9 o'clock kickoff, I was shaking hands because for two reasons. One, it helps with any anxiety or nervousness. You know, it just completely dissipates any butterflies in me. I love shaking hands and look people and saying hi and just being there for them. And number two, there just is no better contact other than hugs. And of course, we do a lot of hugging. So man, if you want to get into existence with people, go give them a hug. Like, maybe not physically, but go out and talk to people and let them know you love them and you care about them. And everything else will fall into place. I built the busiest nutrition practice in the country, verified by labs and supplement companies. They're kind of like the ultimate gauge of whether you're actually doing anything or not as an FDN. How many labs you're running, how much supplements is going on. Now, you know, maybe not some of it so much, but you get the point. And I did that without hardly, you know, I never sent out an email. I never, I didn't do any blogging. I didn't do anything. I barely had a website. So I did it on public relations, strictly, you know, out there talking. So that's my, always been my way. Now, hey, I know people making zillions on the internet, but if you just want to get into existence, try your local community. Try going and giving them a hug. And we do have the lecture packages and things like that. So we try to help you the best way we can.
I agree. That's how I started to build my business. I've just recently started to put some more effort and time and money into the internet side of things just to see where that goes. But everything I've done, I know Jen Maleka says the same thing. It's been word of mouth. That word of mouth is your best kind of referral too. If you can build a word of mouth practice, that's less expensive to do. You don't have the money going out on the marketing side of things. But yeah, it's face-to-face was really, I feel like, what we are selling, if you want to say it that way. If a person's ready, then a person can come on very quickly and work with you, but it's not something that somebody's just going to look at and do an impulse buy. It's not a $5 item that we're selling. We're selling, you know, a more expensive item, but also it's a lifestyle change and everything that comes with it. So if a person is not ready for that, then the chances of them just going and just immediately looking at that and saying, well, might as well just hire Brendan, you know, and his, you know, top-level package and work with him. It doesn't happen that quickly. So that's the aspect of the building that relationship, building that trust. That's what it all comes down to. I think going back to referencing Kendra Perry's talk there at the FDN conference, what she was talking about was building relationship. And that's really what it is. If it's, you know, digitally you're building a relationship, or face-to-face, it's building that trust and letting people know who you are, because you're getting involved in a pretty, I guess I would use the word, intimate relationship with people, in the, you know, pure sense of the word there. It's you're knowing a lot about their life, what's going on, and it's not just what they eat, their mental, emotional state, stressors in their life, their marriage, their relationships. You learn a lot about a person, so it's not to be entered into lightly. So making sure that you are the right person for them and you connect on that level. And really, nobody's got it all figured out as far as the marketing goes. You have to try lots of different things, just whatever you feel the most comfortable with, whatever seems to be make the best quality connections with people. So as long as you're, I think, being honest and transparent, I think that's really been shifted in the last few years. People want real people, not all fake and makeup and lighting and a lot of false look to a person. They really want a real, actual person they can talk to, they can be real with. Build relationships, get out there and talk with people. Like you said, Reed, that's the biggest issue we have is obscurity. I've said that many times on verbal finals. It's just obscurity. You know what to do. You took the course. You passed the course. You can be an awesome practitioner. Going back to what Brendan said in the beginning about AFTMP, one of the goals of that is help you to be more successful. You may understand it, but you've got to be out there. How do you get out there? How do you build your confidence? How do you improve your communication skills? How do you use those 8 questions on the onboarding call? All these things just get honed over time. You keep continuing to do these things and get better and better, and then once you have 100 clients you've worked with and you see all these results, because 98 of those 100 clients got better and the 2 that didn't get better, you know, they didn't try anyhow, your confidence builds quite a bit. So that is going to come out also. So you've got to give things time to, with the marketing for sure, with just who you are, what you're stepping into, the beingness, becoming an FDN practitioner. It takes a little bit of time as well. So all those things zip through my head when I think about, okay, how do I get out there? What do I need to do? So, Bridget, I'll maybe chime in here on the internet side of things. I know you do quite a bit of that as well. Any thoughts on the digital side as far as building relationships goes?
Yeah, definitely a good question and something, you know, I've learned a lot just through experience and trial and error, because, you know, certainly social media has very much become, I would say, the primary way that individuals communicate and interact these days, which, you know, could easily go into a tangent of the state of our society and sociological trends, but nonetheless,
the point being, the internet and social media has become a very, very powerful tool for business building, especially if your business model is virtual in nature. You know, some FDNs, they want to do the brick and mortar thing. Some FDNs really want to grow their roots within their local community. Whereas, you know, me, I have really more taken to the internet. My business is virtual, and therefore my, you know, marketing initiatives are also very much virtual in nature. Now, do I have any like amazing, you know, tips or tricks as far as how to get your content out there? Not really. I mean, honestly, it's been a lot of like showing up every day and just constantly putting quality material out there. I will provide a little bit of insight into something that I have been working very aggressively on with, you know, my staff and everything, is when you are putting stuff out there on the internet, there's a big difference between standing on the pier and throwing worms into the ocean to feed the fish versus putting the worm on a hook and casting your line. So my point being, you don't want to just put stuff out there just to put stuff out there. That's just feeding the fish, which that's very noble of you, but you're never going to be able to reel in business and, you know, sustain a thriving business if all you're doing is feeding the fish. So the point being, you always want to be very intelligent with, you know, put valuable content out there, but you're trying to get them to sign up for your email list. You're trying to get them to subscribe to this or that. You're trying to guide them to packages, programs, services, your private Facebook group. Like, there's got to be a hook. So I would really just say, you know, blast as much valuable educational content out there as you can through the internet and drive engagement, but make sure there's a hook on that worm. Otherwise, you know, you're just feeding the fishes. So hopefully that's semi-helpful.
I like that analogy quite a bit.
Yeah, that's
true. What's that, Reed?
That's just great, you know.
It is.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I like that analogy because you're right, and I make no bones about it when I talk to people. I want you to run 5 labs with me and work with me for 6 months. That's what I want because I know that's where the transformation is going to happen. Yes, you can pick up some tips from me on hydration and basic aspects of dress, but really that next level that the problem that person probably needs is the in-depth look with the lab testing and spend some time with me and learn, and I teach them what I know and teach them how to take care of themselves. So, yeah, I think it's you got to be honest about that. That's really what we want for their benefit.
Here's a tip. And by the way, I think there's a question waiting, Brennan. Can you see that?
Yeah, we got one more. Yeah,
on the dashboard there. All right, let's go with that.
Okay, all right. So 303 area code here. 303, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's Chris Wilson in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hello, Mr. Chris. Hello, sir.
Chris. Thank you, guys. Hope y'all are doing well and having a great start to your new year.
Indeed we are. How about you?
It's incredible. Thank you. So my question kind of feeds right off of this marketing question and Brendan's nice analogy of feeding the fish versus getting a fish. And so I have my first public speech at this health and fitness conference, the 5th, this Sunday. And so I've got my PowerPoint all netted out. I've rehearsed it. I've pretended I've spoken in front of an audience by looking at myself in the mirror. I've done all this kind of stuff. And public speaking doesn't scare me. I actually think it's an adrenaline rush, and I love it. I have it figured to a 5th-grade audience because I don't want to lose people and be science or the making myself seem all intelligent or all knowing by this knowledge. But I don't also want to be up on stage making it seem as if I'm just giving out a bunch of free valuable information. So my question comes in, how do you close the deal when you're standing in front of, say, 500 people who range from fitness professionals, personal trainers, nutrition coaches, and doctors?
Yeah, let me answer it. So, you know, I wrote a manual on workshops, public speaking, lectures, and things like that, Chris. And I also, you know, have several slideshows that have worked very well for me over the years. And it's real silent. I don't hear Chris's background noise anymore, so I hope people can hear me right now. Okay.
I'm here. I just muted myself.
So
just in
that's
case.
Fine. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good. Mute out. Yeah. It's a little noisy. All right. So there's four parts to giving a lecture. They're really, really important. If you don't do all four, you're just that much less likely to get any new ones. Like Brendan's right. You got to have a hook in the worm, or you're just giving away worms. And nothing's more frustrating for the attendee that you get up there and give this great content, but no clothes, no way to get a hold of you, no engagement. And I've heard some great talks where the goofball talking didn't even bring business cards with them. You know, so there's a much, much better way. And there's actually a formula for a successful workshop, and it includes four parts. Part number one is the introduction. You make sure you introduce yourself really well. The best thing is to have someone else read your brief bio, have someone else stand up there and give that, whoever's hosting it or part of the organization or whoever the hell you are, things like that. So someone else should read a short bio, and then they should clap, bring you on, and then you give the real deal, which is your story. You know, the people buy emotionally, and you have to tell them why you became a health coach. The reason I became a health coach is because I had my own health problems, and I was frustrated with, you know, they identify with your hero's journey. Like, I was the standard medicine sucked, and I found, you know, a methodology called FDN. I ran some labs, and then I did the protocols, and now I'm 80% better, whatever it is. You don't have to be perfect. So number one is the introduction. They have to know why you're up there and why they should listen to you. Number two is a survey of the audience. Who's here for a health problem? Who's here because they just wanted the free sandwich that I'm offering? Or who's here because, you know, and so you have to survey the audience. Now, in my lectures, I hand out a piece of paper and make them fill it out. You know, it's like, depending on the topic for the lecture, it would be like a stress survey or an ADD survey or an insomnia survey, whatever like that. I make them all fill out a survey. I do my best to get them to fill that out. And I tell them why they should fill it out. So one is the introduction, two is the survey, three is the body of your work. And it's the least important thing. It's now you're going to teach them something. You have to teach them something that they can remember, give them a few helpful tips on whatever the topic is, and get them thinking about it and wanting to take responsibility. So one is the introduction, two is the survey, three is the body, and four is the close. You have to make a really good, strong offer. And let them know that you want to help. You know, I want to help you. And the only way I'm going to get to help you is if I get to talk to you. So please turn in your survey with your name, phone number, email address, and check the box at the bottom if you want me to give you a call. And then guess what? I call them whether they check the box or not. I call everybody who showed up and thank them for coming. So there's parts to putting together a workshop, the introduction, the survey, the body, and the close. And if you are short on time, just do the introduction, survey, and close. You know, they'll know that you're there because you know something because of your introduction. And so that's the trick. And it's all in the manual. It's on the guidebook that I wrote. And you can go on your FDN Connect and look at resources, and you'll see Reed's famous lecture packages. And there's lecture packages there that all have the manual and very individualized. How to get people, that, you know, advertising, the whole thing, plus PowerPoints. Some of them have 100 slides. I mean, there's no way you can go over 100 slides in an hour or 2 hours. So you have to chop them down. They're just way, they're actually designed to give whole half day workshops. So there's, you know, as always, I deliver in abundance. There's a shit ton of training in those lecture packages. And if you go out and give a lecture to my recommendations. And I gave over 200 lectures when I worked at the clinic in Poway. And so, you know, libraries and grocery stores and you name it. So there's a formula for you, Chris.
That's okay, it. Cool. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. What is your, I've seen your lecture packages. Which ones do you think are like the most successful if you had to rate those?
Well,
I guess that's kind
number
of
one
because I'm pretty sure they're all successful.
It's okay. No. Well, number one by far is the stress and hormones, because you have the number one, it's going to mostly attract the best demographic for an FDN, which is women over 40 who have the time and money and desire to improve themselves. And because their kids are kind of grown up and they work, they got their own checkbooks and credit cards and stuff, and they're good customers. They make great customers. So then after that, you can specialize a bit. You've got your insomnia, you got your younger family with the ADD, ADHD, and I get a lot of teachers at those showing up. And then there's a couple others there. But the stress and hormones one, no, they all have the same guidebook. It's modified a bit depending on the subject. But you get a good guidebook and you get a consultation with me. And I think for the amount of work that went into them and the expertise I have in coaching up how to do public speaking, it's invaluable. The packages are cheap. And I don't give them away because they have great value. And I want to attract people with those values who understand the value of something like that and getting it kind of prepackaged and written out by someone who has done it before. And so, but anyway, there's four parts of the talk. It's not just the clothes, but just to address that specifically, since you asked, you know, you've got to make a really good offer. And I've done it so many different ways, everything from selling my package and saying, who wants to sign up? You know, like the full blown, hey, you can run 5 labs and get 90 days of coaching for $1,500, you know, or I've just said, look, free consultation, that's an offer. A free phone call is an offer. It is a close. And so if you read the manual, you'll see how I contrast the various types of closes, you know, or offers you can make, and how to boost the number of people actually accept your offer, and how, whether they check the box or not at the bottom of the survey, I call them anyway. And I've converted those people. So I used to remember some of this stuff I did a long time ago. So I was like running a 205 and a 101 for a few hundred bucks just to get them. That's my sort of introductory package. Later I stopped doing that method, but I would do that and have people at the end of this talk fighting over the kits I had on hand, literally like elbowing each other out of the way to be in line to get kits. Like, I want those kits tonight, you know, because I just spoke the truth and they would fight. I've had people follow me out to the parking lot and get them out of the trunk of my car, you know, with their checkbook out, their credit card in the dark underneath the streetlight. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how when you get out there and talk to people, how excited they can be. And remember, you have to introduce yourself properly. You have to survey, get them to fill it out and teach them something, and then make a good offer and be prepared to do the business. Don't show up and go, well, I don't have any cards or anything. You know, I'll call you. Here, give me your name on a piece of paper. That's all amateur crap. You know, you show up ready to do business. Like, yes, here's, you have to have the pricing, the packaging, the, you know, how much and where do they sign? Where do they sign? You got to have that with you. The terms of service agreements, everything. I still have my old beat up briefcase. It's all stretched out and scratched up and stuff. I still have the original folders with my forms sitting in it. You know, terms of service agreement, ready to go, ready to sign. Take your credit card number. Here's your kits, or you'll get them in the mail in a couple of days.
Okay, that's very helpful. Cool. And no, it really is. I didn't even think about bringing the terms of service agreement or surveys like that, because I'll have my own booth at this conference. And so
yeah,
I've got business cards, and I was just curious on, I don't know exactly how my stage will be set up for people to sit down, or if it's just to kind of gather around the stage or whatnot.
Yeah,
the normal convention center here in Fort Worth, but with my booth, so I could have my surveys on that booth for people who maybe attended my talk, and then come by and have them fill it out, and maybe conduct. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've probably done over 100 booths and street fairs and just for a clinic, you know, just I used to show up and we'd have huge ones where I'd take five massage therapists with me, each one with a massage chair. And I'd have people filtering just free massage and have my train up my massage therapist just to do a little script, just a little primary script, you know, stress highly involved in all health, highly involved in all health problems. You've got signs of stress right here in your neck. It's manifesting physically. And if you'd like to deal with your stress in another way that you haven't done already, we suggest you go talk to Reed over there or even with an assistant. I'd have someone, again, they'd be filling out a survey, the same exact stress survey form, checking the box, putting down their name, their email. You can't talk to them all. And then with the ones that were really, you know, desperate looking, then I would spend 5 or 10 minutes with them. But I wouldn't be more than 10 minutes, and I'd be having them sign the terms of service agreement and getting their kits. So it's like a machine when you know what you're doing. You will sign up people, and you know, hopefully they actually do the work. That's a separate subject. Getting them to do the work is different than getting them to sign up to do the work. And so you have to look at them as two different things. You know, getting them to sign up is a separate skill level of how you operate and stuff. Getting them to do the work is another variable. I know we're winding down. I don't want to interfere with the rest of the show.
That's good.
Brendan and Brandon.
Good. Okay. That's excellent. I think it's been good. Chris, I'm going to put you on mute here. So, we got about 3 minutes left here. So I want to tack onto this, what you're saying here, Reed, is one thing you've helped me with quite a bit is reframing the selling process or sales, because so many times, you know, sales has some kind of negative connotation. But really what you're doing is you're helping a person solve a problem. And then during the process of that, making a decision is if the solution you're offering is the right one for them. That's the process. So if there is no close, then nothing's been done. No work's been accomplished. You haven't solved their problem. You're not going to solve their problem. So I think being actually saying the words that you're going to use to quote, close the sale there, the person, they're important. But I think what's behind it, if you have that feeling of like, you're doing something wrong in some way, something holding you back. I think also the whole money, getting your money right also, that whole concept too is what we're talking about here. If there's this reservation here that you're doing something immoral, unethical, illegal, something wrong by having a person work with you and to close a person, so to speak, we keep using that phrase there. If that's there, that's going to hold you back. What you've got to realize is that you're there to help them to solve a major problem, possibly, you know, save a life or change a life in this process. So there's also that intention that's behind it. Great, I'm talking to you, Chris, on this one. So, you know, first time you try to do that, can be a little bit challenging. But if you think about these things about being purely a benevolent act that you're doing there, I think that helps free you to do a better job with closing. I can't wait to talk to somebody on an onboarding call. I can't wait to bring somebody on. As soon as somebody says, yes, let's do this, I'm excited, pumped. Get the kits in their hand, they're signing documents, we're going at it, and it's a great thing. It's a high because I know I'm about to help this person and make a huge difference. So I'll tack that onto it, but Reed, thanks for helping me always reframe and think about the sales process in a different way than what I think so much of us think about, you know?
You're welcome. Love sales. Love you guys. I'm going to bail, but gosh, it's just really looking forward to a great year, and thank you both for running this show every Friday, and let me know when you need me, and I'll be here. And
awesome.
To everyone else,
thanks a lot for being
God bless. Have a great new year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Reed. All right. Yeah, we got just a few seconds left here in the call. I want to thank Andrew and Chris, some of our regulars on the call here. Good questions, great stuff always. Good quality questions, sometimes challenging questions, and love it. And thanks, you guys, for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week, and we'll answer some more questions, hopefully just all callers again this time. So, I think we'll call it a day. 30 seconds left. So, guys, good stuff. Thanks for being on the call. Brendan, thanks for being on as well. Congratulations to our graduates again, and we're going to have more of those coming in next week. So, all right, we'll sign off for today, guys. Have a good weekend, and talk to you guys next week.